Welcome to another vital message from Pastor Ron Hemmons, Senior Pastor of Golden Triangle Church on the Rock in Southeast Texas. We're so glad you're joining us. For more information about Golden Triangle Church on the Rock Ministries, visit our website, cotr.com. Enjoy the Word.
Are you ready for the Word?
All right. You can open your Bibles, if you would, to Matthew. Matthew chapter 28. We will be there in just a moment. I'll cover a scripture before we get there. But if you'll open up your heart for just a moment to hear some good news, in fact, the best news, then we will be on the same page together. You know, it's amazing how many people go to school and never apply what they learned. Can you imagine a world where people would go to school for decades and some continue their education even for the rest of their lives and never do anything with what they've been taught? Could you imagine a world like that? Could you imagine, we wouldn't expect that from a farmer. We wouldn't expect that from a salesman. We wouldn't expect that from a doctor, from a lawyer. We would not expect that from a cook or a pilot or a welder. We would expect that if they went to get some training, if they went to get some education, that they would come back and find a way to apply that in a work situation so that they could get better at what they were doing. The whole education paradigm is aimed at making us more successful because we are applying what we have learned. It's very important. How else can we help others and help ourselves? Most people in the United States attend school for a minimum of 12 to 14 years. You know, I did not get to go to kindergarten, so mine was, my initial education was a little bit less. But somewhere 12 to 14 years, people attend school, and then many go on to a secondary education, and yet, even after they've specialized in their chosen field of study, they go out into a workforce, and some never even get a job. Some never apply. Some end up doing things that they have to go back to school to learn again. You know, each year I have to go back to school to keep my license up. Not my preaching license, although y'all probably wish I would. But I'm an auctioneer. If y'all didn't know, TDLR controls, Texas Department of License and Regulation controls auctions. You have to be an auctioneer to own an auction facility. I can't actually do that. Blah, 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 whatever. Although I did last week up in Dallas and raised money for our India projects. But at any rate, how did I get into that? Okay, the whole paradigm of education and continuing education is that the end result is application, that we apply what we have learned. Going to school and learning how to do something, if you do not apply it, might be a little more than a waste of time, might be a waste of opportunity. Yet, many Christians, I'm talking about you now, you and me, you guys there, many Christians attend school every week for 20, 30, 40, even 50 years of their lives. You know, multiple times a week. I'm talking about Sunday school. I'm talking about church. Many Christians attend school but never apply and never put into practice the things that they have learned. You know, I went to school to be a pilot. I kept having to go back because I wanted to fly, not just fly a plane, but I wanted to be able to fly a plane, in bad weather. So I had to go back to school. I wanted to be able to fly a plane that had more than one engine, so I went back to school. I wanted to be able to fly not only fixed wing, but rotary wing, so I went back to school. But between the schools, and every time that I would go to school, you know, when I would get home, I would have to practice. Who would want to fly with a pilot that went to school but never flew the plane? You know, it's so important that we understand that the whole reason for us learning something is so that we can apply it. It's so that we can make ourselves more valuable to ourselves, to our families, and to others. The majority, unfortunately, the majority of born-again believers have been going to church and learning, have been going to Sunday school and hearing the Word of God and what God wants them to do and how He wants them to do it, how God wants you to process a marriage or other relationships or how to handle your money or even the simple things of how to witness to others, how to lead others to Christ, how to be an example to the believers in word and in behavior and in charity. You know, I'm quoting from 1 Timothy 4:12. Conversation and purity. And we learn, we are taught, and we put the time in. We get up on a Sunday morning, whenever we could. I mean, come on now, that's about the best sleeping day you're ever going to get. And we get up and we go and we get our kids ready and we take them and we spend time sitting and listening to someone the Bible calls foolishness. The Bible says it's through the foolishness of preaching that God has chosen to change and to save the lives of men and women. Well, Ryan, can you believe that what I'm doing this morning, God sees as foolish? What does that mean? That means that you could read it for yourself, and you probably have a voice on the inside of you that's telling you all the time, if you would just take your own advice, you would probably be okay. But I'm here vouching for God. I'm here trying to tell you that God's way is a better way. I'm just reading it and repeating it. I mean, realistically, doesn't that sound strange that you would believe me? I'm vouching for God. I'm vouching for His Word. I am, like, I have more credibility than God has. But I am encouraging you to trust God. Who am I to encourage you to trust God? But yet we go, week after week, Sunday after Sunday, you know, midweek services, the old-fashioned revivals. We go online. We listen to preaching. We listen to worship. We listen to teachers. And we fill ourselves full of the things that God wants us to do. And yet a majority of born-again believers have never personally led one person to Christ. Whoa. A majority of Christians do not apply what they learn in church. I'm sorry, I know I'm telling y'all about this. I'm not talking about y'all. I'm talking about some people who aren't even watching today, okay? There's got to be somebody in your mind that you know that I'm talking about, right? It's somebody else, right? No, I'm sorry, guys, but going to school and never applying what you learned seems to me to be a waste of time. You know, I'm not trying to be critical, but it just seems a little odd, because the whole point of the gospel, the whole point of the message of Jesus is that we would be taught so we could teach others. 2 Timothy 2:2, this is the heart of what we're told, that the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. You see, I'm teaching you, you teach others, so that they can teach others. That's the goal. That's the goal of education. That's the goal of being, going to medical school. You know, my son teaches in a medical school. And if you talked to him very long last night, he had to bring some medical metaphor up. And he's probably watching me. I love you, buddy. Thanks for talking to Zach again. He needed it. But he teaches in a medical school, but his whole goal and his whole hope is that they'll still be doing medicine after he's gone, after he's, you know, already in heaven. That's our goal. My goal is that there'll be preachers and teachers and Sunday school teachers continuing long after I'm gone. And the only way to do that is that I must find people that will apply what they have learned and not just keep coming to school and never make application of it. Like I said, I don't mean to be critical, but I am a little concerned. You see, why am I concerned? It's because Christianity is always only one generation away from extinction. If we don't educate the next generation, if you don't tell your children and your grandchildren about Christ, if you don't raise up a next generation, if we do not reproduce, if we cannot get someone to apply what we have learned. You see, someone paid for you to hear about Jesus. And unless we can educate and motivate others to share the gospel and participate in world missions, the church will be gone within the next 50 years. We are always one generation away from extinction. You represent the most educated generation of Christians the world has ever known. Do you realize that you have more at your fingertips? You know more about Jesus than any other generation, including the generation that walked on planet Earth with him. You know more about the gospel. When the Apostle Paul was preaching, he did not have the New Testament. He didn't have the book of Matthew. He didn't have the book of Luke. When the Apostle Paul was preaching, he had not yet written Ephesians, and Philippians at a period of his life. He didn't have the book of Revelation, 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, 1st, 2nd Peter. He did not have the book of Jude and James. You know more about God, more about Jesus, more about the church. You know more about success and how God would count success. You know more about Christianity, more about evangelism than any other generation has ever known in the history of the world. You have the whole Bible and all kinds of commentaries and scholarly works right in your phone. It's amazing. My whisper can be heard around the world. You can watch and listen to the gospel of Jesus Christ 24 hours a day, 7 days a week for the rest of your life and never tax the amount of information available to you about Jesus Christ. Wow. As I said, we have greater access to the gospel than any other generation. You know, in the year 100, and let me preface this by saying that we are doing a good job, even though most Christians have never led anyone to Christ, even though most Christians have never personally taken it upon themselves to witness to someone they knew was lost. Most Christians have, do you know a majority of Christians cannot even tell you if their spouse is born again or not? Or if their children are saved? Or if their grandchildren have accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior? They can't tell you that. But why? Because they won't ask. Because they feel somewhere outside of the envelope. Do you know in the year 100, there were approximately 360 non-Christians for every one born-again believer on the planet. 360. Now, I think that I could probably in my lifetime tell 360 people about Jesus. I think I could. If they had have done that, then everyone would have heard the gospel and we could have, closed this age. That's what the Bible says. When the whole world has heard, this gospel shall be preached into all the world for a witness to all nations, then the end shall come. That's what the book of Matthew says. I think I could have witnessed, Royce, I could have witnessed to 360 people, and I think you have. In the year 2000, it was 7-1. We only had to witness to 7 people. The church has done pretty good, hasn't it? I mean, the church has, listen, the church is growing. We're growing faster, going farther, doing more, more powerful, more productive. We know more and have the greatest preachers the world has ever seen. The church is strong and doing well. I'm talking about the church worldwide. It is spreading across the world like wildfire. In the year 2000, only 7. Do you know today it's only 4-1? There are 2.4 billion Christians in a world of only 8 billion people. Even though the population is really increasing, Christianity proportionally is increasing even greater. We are reaching a world. So that means this, that you only have to witness to 4 people if every Christian would share the love of Jesus Christ with 4 people. Just 4. Come on now. Just 4. To make a credible witness. Now, I'm going to get my 4, okay? I'll get your 4 if I have to, but you should get your own 4. Why not? You see, Paul, whenever he wrote his works to Ephesus and to Philippi, whenever he wrote to Colossae and Corinth, he was encouraging them to do the same thing that I'm encouraging you to do today. To take the Word of God, to take the gospel of Jesus Christ, to apply it to your life, which includes sharing it with others. You see, salvation is a personal decision, but it's not meant to be a private matter. It's personal, but it's not private. It is not designed by God to be private. It's designed to be personal. Don't be afraid to talk to your children. Don't be afraid to talk to your grandchildren. Don't be afraid to talk to your parents. The very first field of witness that we should approach is that comfortable field of the people who know us. Your friends, your co-workers. I'm encouraging you to do something with what you've learned. I'm encouraging you not just to come to school every Sunday, not just to come to school and go home and never apply what you've learned. That would be a waste of opportunity. Learning how to share the gospel of Jesus Christ is a simple matter. Don't think for one moment that it should be kept private. It is personal, but it is not private. If there was ever a time in the history of the world in which to boldly and kindly ask someone about their relationship with Jesus Christ, it is today. You might be shocked to find out that your spouse is born again. Ask them to share their testimony with you. Do you know that I do that in marriage counseling? It's one of the first things I do whenever people come for marriage counseling. As I say, listen, have you ever shared your testimony with your spouse as to how you got born again? You would be shocked. I'm talking about a majority of husbands and wives married a decade, married 15, 20 years, have never sat down and said, let me tell you how I got born again. Let me tell you when Jesus became real to my life. Let me tell you why I decided to pray and ask Jesus into my heart. That one thing often opens up doors. I've sat in countless marriage counseling sessions when people began to open up their heart about asking Christ into their heart and their life, and all of a sudden that dam breaks, and all of a sudden all the pouring out of the hurt and the rising up of the hope a new beginning just from a witness? How much more with your children and your grandchildren? Have you had a time to sit down? You know, I'm not sure that I am, but I like to consider myself a man's kind of man. I got on boots. Okay. And these are boots I wear. I don't just wear them for looks. I've probably ridden in these. You know, we brokered horses for more than 20 years. You know, 20 to 50 a week. Okay. So I like to consider, you know, William, I like to consider myself a little, you know, of course I'm older and I'll be 70 in a month or two here. But I nonetheless have had to take off that shell. I've had to set down that, you know, I know my resting face can look mean. I have to watch about it, you know. You need to know what your resting face is. Mine is arrogant and mean, and I can't help it, and I try my best to get over it, you know. This is my resting face. But I've asked my grandchildren. I've asked my children. Have you made Jesus the Lord of your life? Jacob felt so comfortable. He came to my grandson, came in and said, "Granddad, something just happened to me, you know." And when you ask your wife, who was an atheist, you know, wasn't that the best news you ever heard? Yeah. She accepted Jesus as her Lord and Savior. How shall they know unless they're told? What opportunity are we giving? See, that's what school teaches. School teaches you what to go out and do. Church should teach you what to go out and do. You should leave here feeling better than you came, but you should leave here more equipped than you came. This morning, I want to encourage you. I want to encourage you to leave here and do something with what you learned. You'll be shocked. A lot of relationships are mended with the humbling and sitting down and breaking that shell. Listen to me, men. You know, if I can get men to witness, we can win the world. Okay? You know, when we worship, I'd say to Pastor AJ, I want songs that make sense to men. We want to win men to Christ. Men will win their families. Men will lead their families. You know, I love you ladies, but, you know, making no point of it, I'm after men. I want to win men to Christ. Make a difference. You see, there's a spiritual code. I wrote this so that you wouldn't misunderstand me. There is a spiritual code that's programmed into the souls of every person, and it's just waiting to be awakened by the witness of a true believer in Jesus Christ. There is a spiritual code that is programmed into the souls. Florence, in your soul, God had already programmed. It was in a spiritual code that could be awakened by the Word of God and by a clear opportunity to be born again. And that code, when it was deciphered by the Word of God, you said yes. You know? That's the way it works. Don't be afraid to share Christ with people. They want to hear it. Don't believe what the devil has to say about unbelievers. Don't believe the propaganda. People in your workplace, they want to hear that you love Jesus. They'll trust you more. They'll think more of you when they find out that you love Jesus, that you go to church, that you care about others, that you're merciful, that you're forgiving, that you're full of grace, that you're kind. And you are. You need to let them know that. Need to be an encouragement to them. Allow me to read this as I close. These are the last words that we have recorded that Jesus spoke to his disciples. his last words that we have recorded, Matthew 28. Have you found it yet? Matthew 28, verse 18. And Jesus came and spoke to his disciples, and he said to them, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. For this reason now, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." That's our marching orders. Go into all the world. You see, you cannot pay for your own salvation, but you can pay for other people to be saved. With your time, with your talent, with your treasury, it makes a difference. This is called the Great Commission. Go into all the world. Tell others, make disciples, and teach them and train them. That's what you learned in school. That's what you're learning in school. That as you go, it doesn't mean you have to go to Kenya. You don't have to go to India. You don't have to go to China. But it's as you go, wherever you are going. That's the implication of that construct. As you are going, make sure that you're making disciples and teaching people to observe what you learned in Sunday school. Okay? So, this morning, with three questions as we close, and I have 40 seconds. Are you ready? Okay. Would you consider giving? Number two, would you consider going? And number three, would you consider sharing? You see, you are the best news that God has to offer to the world. You are the best news. You're educated. You can do this. You're the best news God has to offer to the world. As you go, share with others what you've learned.
Thanks again for joining us for another relevant word from Pastor Ron Hemmons. Visit cotr.com and subscribe to our social media platforms to stay up to date. As well, receive more encouraging messages from our pastor and details of the work we're doing both in our community and communities like ours around the world. Today and every day, God bless.